Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Coach Menachem on this beautiful Sunday night, August 17th, the last Sunday of the summer, really, towards the end. Tonight's shiur is shiur 241, so first of all, I thank every Sunday for everybody for coming in and posting our shiur. And it's a platform that we're in our sixth year, and every year, every shiur, we keep on getting better and better. We get a sichas chaverim, a place to talk through a lot of inyanim. Thank you for joining us. If anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chat, please WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I'll also post the community link on the Zoom chat. You can also sign up for the weekly emails and the replays on Coach Menachem's website, which is menachembernfeld.com, menachembernfeld.com. For the people that are watching this video on YouTube, you can click on the subscribe button. You also can click on the like button. And every week when Menachem posts the videos, you get to see them right when we're done to share. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, the Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, Ellie and Ariel from Five Town Central, and Chayla Kaufman from JCN, Jewish Content Network, for always promoting across all our digital Jewish platforms. The Coach Menachem Show is proudly sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is the largest mental health and wellness directory for the global Jewish world. It's the place that any Yid Jew could find an amazing therapist, psychiatrist, nutritionist, and coach. Yes, even Coach Menachem there. OKClarity also has an amazing WhatsApp status with over 10,000 obsessed followers. Their WhatsApp status is great for mental health, and they post great humor, so you'll laugh too. We will send out the links, and Menachem will send it out in the email after the show as well. If anybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we have different shiur, different topics. So please join us. Next week, August 21st, August 24th. Not confirmed yet, but hopefully we will have a shiur. I'm not sure yet, but I'll let you know shortly. And if it is, it's going to be an amazing shiur. So let's turn it over now to Arne Echfried. Tonight is Shir 241. We have a very chashuv guest, Rabbi Avichai Cohn. Rabbi Cohn, there's a gematria why we waited for 241 to bring you on tonight. This is the reason why we waited for 241. Arne Ech.
Shalom Ruach, everyone, to Zoom Shir number 241. Falling in love with life, how embracing the true meaning of love can transform the way you live every day. It is truly a tremendous hashgacha pratis and siyat d'shmaya that this year is number 241, because the gematria of 241 is Hi chaviva lonu mikol chaviv. It is more loved upon us than anything else we love.
Okay, I'm going to turn over to Coach Menachem Bernfeld. Sunday night, the question we asked you for the last almost 6 years, why are we here tonight? What do we want to learn?
Beautiful, amazing, great question. Thank you very much. Thank you, Arnoyah, for the beautiful gematria. And it's a big kovet to have Rabbi Avichai Cohn with us tonight. It took time, but eventually it happens in Baruch Hashem. So I want to welcome everyone. Another Let's Get Real with Coach Menachem. Yes, with a lot of Siyata D'Shmaya, we're doing 241. And like we heard, it's the end of the summer and people are traveling out. Some fresh air before the Nuzman, before the Elozman comes. It's around the corner, and here we are, trying to figure out life. Elul is Azman. We stop, and we start to think, you know, you have a little of time, get ready for Shoshuna, then you have a Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. It's all about trying to figure out the Tachlis. And the truth is, most, you know, that join Sunday night, Coach Menachem, we all, the whole year, we're trying to figure out what life is all about. We want to grow, we want to become better, and do the right thing. But then we have those, you know, many challenges, different challenges in life, makes it hard. Sometimes it can be a challenge in panusa, there's no time to think. Challenges in relationship, in chinuch, or in overall meaning in life, connecting to Hashem. We discussed many times connecting. Some people have to heal before they connect, the way they relate to Hashem. But the emphasis is, well, what are we looking for? We want to connect, do the right thing. And like it says in the Torah, we're doing the right thing. We're trying our best. But we need that. We need to feel the happiness, the excitement, to feel alive, like the title, to fall in love with life. Not just to coast or just to let, you know, get up, do we have to do, and then another day and another day. We want to have a little bit more of understanding. But when the challenges come, it makes it haka like a challenge. It haka challenge. It makes it hard. Everybody has their things. And then we try again. Not always does it work. And we sit with questions. We don't like to sit with the questions. We want answers. Whether it's global, what's going on in the world before Mashiach comes, or everybody in their own life, wherever you are, any situation, any challenge. If you feel like you feel you fell in love with life, amazing. I would love to hear more about it. And then there are those who are still trying to figure it out. Or those who might say, who said you have to fall in love? Or what does love mean? You have to do what Hashem wants. Your love, Nishlov. So that's why I'm excited to have with us Rabbi Avichai Cohen. And some people know about him, others don't. So I did a little bit of research. It's a fascinating journey. And he's here with us to help us, to guide us, answer our questions. So I want to welcome and shkoyach for being with us tonight. We should be ulara siyata d'shmaya.
Let me introduce Rabbi Cohen. Rabbi Avichai Cohen, the topic tonight is falling in love with life, how embracing the true meaning of love can transform the way you live every day. The million-dollar question everybody's trying their whole life to get to. Rabbi Avichai Cohen is an inspirational speaker and educator based in Yerushalayim, in Beit Shemesh, actually dedicated to helping Yidden reconnect with the heritage of former IDF commando and an international fashion model. His remarkable personal journey led him from the runways of the world to the life of Torah and outreach. Today, through his work with Bell's affiliated Zohar organization, Rabbi Cohen delivers lectures, workshops, and personal guidance, inspiring audience in Israel and abroad to deepen the connection to Yiddishkeit, Judaism, identity, and spiritual growth. Rabbi Cohen, it's an honor to have you tonight. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. I'm much honored and excited for this session. First of all, thank you for introducing me in such a nice way. And before I start talking a bit, I want to apologize a bit for my English. As you can hear, it's not my first language, hardly my second. But my heart talks, and this is an international sprach language, the heart. Like we all have Yiddish heart, Baruch Hashem. So if anything is misunderstood or maybe I might say it in a bit of a wrong way, I apologize. You can always correct me. V'simcha rabba v'ezrat Hashem. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm 30 years in tshuva. I have the zchut to be work with Am Yisrael, all colors and approaches. Kulam kodesh kodoshim, Hashem loves everybody. And from the world that I came from, everything I talk today is all in the Sforim HaKadoshim, but where I came from, I told myself as a IDF officer, the way I taught life was, in order to survive, you should close the emotions down and function the best you can. That was a survival mode that we had to use in order to function, especially in situations that are very dangerous. Some we can talk about, some not. But altogether, the idea was, in order to be the best, you got to kill the emotional zone in order to function the best way. This approach, which at the time saved me because I could function in heavy situations in a very clear and cut way, when I came into Judaism after searching, finding myself coming to Judaism, I used the same system. I thought basically that the point is to be a soldier of Hashem, do what you got to do. Feelings is not an issue. You got to function the best thing. It took me a couple of years to understand the concept of Rachmana li babai, Hashem wants your heart. As Tachlita nirtze, Chefetz alev, Chukata neshama, the person has to work a mitzvah tatliot balev, Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Toye, work with the emotions the right way. For me, it was a new agenda. I had to try to internalize, it's a life journey, as he mentioned here. And I would like to share this a bit with you. Of course, any challenges would be welcome. So basically, the first thing for me was to understand, A, that Hashem wants my heart. I mean, for me, it was like, what do you mean wants my heart? Well, the mitzvah was put on tefillin, davening, what do you mean wants your heart? He wants my heart. Why? Because trying to understand that the idea of Judaism is to learn to love Hashem. To learn to bring out the inner love that's inside us outside to the practical world in everything you do. Doesn't matter if you're working, if you're learning, whatever it is, in every zone, is to find the love of Hashem there. So the journey of Vayet is to reveal the love of Hashem everywhere. If somebody's going to ask you who says who, A, it's all over, but B, this is the point I want to point out, that for us, usually in the modern world, what is love? Love is an emotion. An emotion. I love food, I love this, I love this. And this is a basic mistake. Not that love is not an emotion. For sure, it's an emotion. We all fall in love. We all craving for love. But for Yidden, love is also an inner unconditional unity. In other words, it's also a spiritual mode, which has nothing to do with emotions. And why is it so important to understand this? Because as long as we're judging the reality of love through the emotions, so as we all know, there are days of hatred, days of love. You can't build anything. You can't build a relationship. You want to go with somebody, you fall in love, and suddenly there's no love there. Emotion comes and goes. The Torah tells us that the love that Hashem loves every Yid is an unconditional love. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. B'nei b'chol Yisrael, we're sons of Hashem Yitbarach. Every one of us, doesn't matter how we look. With this, without this, doesn't matter. It goes from Me'a She'orim B'ze Goa B'Odu. A Yid is a Yid. Inside is beautiful. Inside is craving to love and to be loved, because inside is a Neshom. It's a part of Hashem. And this is a journey to find this out. Now, each one of us grew in a different background. He had different things to prevent him from feeling that zone or feeling it the wrong way. So the idea of love is an inner conditional unity which is there to be. You cannot ruin this. Shir Hashirim says, Maim Rabim lo yichlu lechabot et hava, you cannot kill this love. Whatever you're going to do, you can't kill this. It's an inner eternity. Doesn't matter what a Yid does, Hashem, anything, I won't go into details, but anything he's going to do, Hashem still loves him. Still loves him. And why is it so important? Because all of us, as we all know, are craving for love. Everything we do in life is love. The way you walk, the way you talk, you're trying to get some recognition, what I would call it inner love. You're craving to get some attention, because it's your inner oxygen. And this is the way we live. And since we're leaning on emotions, not relating to the inner situation of love, we find ourselves all the time disappointed and not fulfilled. The Torah says to you, listen, the fact of love is there to be. It's inside you. It's going to be there forever. Your work is to emotionally internalize this inner situation. And since emotional work is backwards and forwards, as we know, so Memele, it's not easy. But that's where you're heading. And that's without even knowing who's sitting in front of me. As long as we're Yidden, this is what we're doing. Anything that is reminding us of love or pleasure, we go for. Anything that's avoiding this, we try to avoid ourselves, not to go into these zones. And this is where we find ourselves in our generation today, not in very hard challenges. Why? Because our generation today is called an external generation. So people tend to think external means that there's too much material. It's true, but when we talk about the heart, external generation means that our heart is not capable of containing and feeling our inner ems. The inner gap in the Yid is mizach ma'av. Inside is full of love. Toich ratzuf ahava. We're burning to Hashem. Each Yid, every Yid, even the biggest koifer, inside is burning to Hashem. But the gap between what he is inside versus his feeling situation is very big. And we tend to believe our feeling to be our reality. This is another preventer of finding our love. If I feel I'm bad and I feel I hate Hashem, so what? It's not the emes. I'm able to say, listen, I know I love Hashem because I'm a part of Hashem. Hashem loves me. But I feel I hate him. How can you say this? Because that's what I feel today. Feeling come and go. If we address the reality of love the right Jewish way, nothing could change this. The only work is to adjust the emotional zone versus the inner ems. And this is the basic difference between the Jewish approach and the Goshi approach. Also, in the Goshi, there's love. You can't say there's no love there. Right? Emotional, but the inner eternity of an neshama is not there the way it is by us. So we can't use the goyish element as a total mahalach. We can use it, and we have to use. That's a Jewish, there's no chay, but understanding it's only a bouncer, a door to a much inner, higher spiritual, unconditional love zone that exists inside us. So this journey is our, that's our journey. I mean, I think everybody will find himself, looking for this love without sometimes, without even knowing it, without even defining it that way. But at the end of the day, that's where we're heading. Because our neshama inside is full of love, which we want to bring out. And when we don't bring out the love, we become sad people, we lose energy, on the wrong things, we're trying to get love from the wrong places, we're trying to find some excitement which remind us of the love that's inside us without even knowing. So we find ourselves chasing the whole life, just trying to take up something to remind us of the love that's inside us. And it doesn't work. It has to work in both ways. The love inside us, we have to bring out from the inside. We can't lean on the outside. Of course, we're people, we're not angels, so we have to learn to balance between taking the outside zone and the inner zone together and to bridge them in. And this is the idea of Yadata Ayom Vashevota Elavecha. Knowing I'm good is easy. I know I'm good. I know I'm loved. But internalizing emotionally, Vashevota Elavecha, this is always was a hard work. In our generation, much harder. Much harder. Every generation has its challenges, of course. Yeah, but today you can mamash pinpoint how hard it is to emotionally internalize love while on a daily basis we don't feel it. We feel the opposite. We get mixed up by external excitements that are diverting us from this love. And we're feeling these feelings from the age of 2. Sometimes even before. We absorb false love or false excitements in the wrong balance for years, from a very early age. So when we start looking for the love the right way, we're in a big, big deficit, big minus. It's all from Hashem. This is a part of our journey. But the minute you address it the right way, it becomes an interesting navigation, an interesting, it's much easier to cope with the, bad feelings, and challenges in life. So this is, it's not my agenda. This is the Torah's agenda, but one of the approaches that we're trying to use day by day on daily basis from self-experience. I'm not saying I'm always saying to people that I talk to, we're on the same boat. We're all on the same boat. You can be all the shots, you can be a secular. It's all on the same boat. Same boat, the search of love, the inner love, the connection to Hashem, and finding it all over with our kids, with our spouse, with our work. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is Echad Ushmo Echad. And finding this unity all over, this is the challenge of life. This is the idea of mitzvah. Mitzvah is tzavta, is connection. Connected to Hashem all over. Baruch Hashem. When you work with this, a all-win situation. When you work with love, Ahava is the strongest thing. It's the strongest thing. This is the way I see it today. I can tell you also before, you told me not to talk too long and I'll hear your questions. But I can say to you that even the beginning of tshuva, I went into Torah with a lot of koach, no emotions. And with the years, start understanding that it's also a mahalach, but the inner mahalach is to emotionally internalize and work with the heart, not as a condition for work. We do what you got to do as soldiers of Hashem, but yeah, it's heading for the connection to Hashem. This is the basic idea. Okay, so this is a promo. Not the word promo, Menachem. If I make any mistakes, even embarrassing mistakes.
You're good, you're good. You're doing great.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear. People said to me, aren't you embarrassed to say this? I say I'm embarrassed to deny the basic need of attention and getting the chizuk. Everybody needs it. Those who are denying it are in a big, big problem, I'm telling you.
You can help us figure out what love is, what Hashem is, because we don't see Him, and how to have the love, the connection to Hashem, we're good.
Okay, so first of all...
Hashem. No, so we'll go to the poll first. Who should take over?
Okay, let's get to the polls. We're going to ask everybody four questions. Everybody answer to the best of your ability, and then Rabbi Cohen will review the polls together. If people want to ask live questions, please text Asher Parnas here, and we'll have a sichas chaverim. We'll shmooze it out. We'll get it clarity. Okay?
Yeah.
Here we go. Four questions. First question. When you hear the word love, what do you associate it? What do you most associate with it? Four possible answers. Which one resonates most with you? A feeling or an emotion? An action or choice? Connection to others? Connection to life itself? Second question.
I'm supposed to answer? No, not yet.
Right now, how do you describe the way you're living? Four options. Going through the motions, focused on survival, searching for meaning, truly loving life.
Okay. So okay. I should just...
No.
The people on Zoom are...
Just wait.
I'm answering.
Oh,
I see. Olam is answering.
Third question. What's the hardest part for you about falling in love with life? Number one, handling challenges and setbacks. Number two, finding joy in the ordinary. Three, shifting from taking to giving. Or four, giving inspiration keeping inspiration alive long term. The final question. When life feels especially heavy or overwhelming, what helps you keep going? A, remembering a bigger purpose. B, focusing on small daily moments. C, leaning on faith and spirituality. Or D, support from people around me. Okay, those are the four questions. Everybody answer to the best of your ability. And then, Rabbi Cohen, we will review it together, one by one.
Okay.
Five more seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Zero. Okay, this is what everybody said. We'll go through one by one. Rabbi Cohen.
Yeah.
When you hear the word love, what do you associate it? What do you most associate with? So 42% of people, so there's a, it's a tie. 42% of people, it's a feeling. I feel love. Only 3% feel love as an action, like doing something. 44% connection to others. So that's the tie between feeling emotion and connection to others. And 12% is connection to life itself. What's your take on that?
What's the word take out? Just explain to me.
You see what people think. People think the word love, what they associate with is a feeling.
Right.
Connection. Just feeling connected. That's love. Feeling somebody, something. That's the type of love to them. What's your opinion on that? These are hypothetical questions. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah. They're all right. Like you said. Exactly. So basically love is for a person is a feeling and an emotion. We live through emotional life, and this is what we relate to from the emotional zone. But thinking wise, I always work from two approaches. Feeling wise, when you say love, automatically, yeah, I feel it's a powerful emotion, yeah. But I know it's much deeper, so I always go together. It always goes together. The thinking and the feeling. I don't put them to one thing in this situation. I know I feel amazing love, but I also know there's something much deep inside. And the more I think about it, the more I'm able to feel and internalize this reality, even in hard situations. I want to also, when you connect to others through this understanding, not bedavka the emotion, so naturally the emotion grows. Yeah. So when you're in a given situation. The emotion grows, even though at the same time you feel the opposite, because it's hard, since it's not contradicting the inner emes, at the end of the day, it's going to have to join the emes and also feel that way. I hope I'm correct with my English.
Yeah. So let's go to the second question. Right now, how do you describe the way you're living? So 11% of people just going through the motions. They're not really feeling anything. 24% of people focused on survival. 43% of people searching for more meaning. And only 22% is truly loving life. So it seems like most people are trying to survive and they're looking, and a lot of people are looking for more. That's where the oil is holding them. Want to comment anything on this?
Yeah. Again, if I'm saying something which is a bit not exactly the word, please correct me. Yeah, most people are survivors. And in order to stop the survival mode, it's a decision and a choice. I will want to explain this point. If I can a bit relate to it in a longer, could I have time to talk about it?
Yeah,
all the time in the world.
Okay. So basically, what happens is when a person is growing and his basic oxygen of nefesh is love, Shem made it that way, the biggest pain of a person is when he's lonely and he's not getting this love for any reason or other. This pain of loneliness is so hard that a person would almost give his life away to avoid that pain. Survival mode means that I'm not able to look into my emotional situation right now because it causes me the feeling of rejection, of loneliness, and therefore I'm busy doing things to feel connected. Even though I'm not aware of it, this is what happens. And since most of the people, not blaming, just situation, did not get healthy love and connection due to many reasons that we could go into if people don't want to know. So we mainly automatically we're running away from pain and searching for pleasure, which puts us into either functioning or looking for something deeper or doing. So it's one engine running away from pain, loneliness, searching for pleasure. Any pleasure that is reminding us of love. This is why we're in survival mode, most of us. Those who are looking for a deeper thing already took it to a deeper point of looking for something maybe more inner or spiritual, but the same way it could be somebody workaholic working all the time. This is the way he gets his sort of a feeling of existence, instead of the basic feeling. And that's why he can never end the workaholic point, because when he finishes the work, he feels he's dying because he builds his image on this emotion. So at the end of the day, most of us, are in survival mode unless we decide to take a choice and to stop the survival mode, which is doable. But then you have to be ready to know what to do, which we can talk about. Now, again, I'll be guided by the way you ask me, but it's a choice point. That's why I'm adding the choice point. I have to choose to stop the race. It will not happen alone. I have to choose. It's the opposite of the nature. We're on survival mode as nature. We can't take pain on nature. We're searching for pleasure on nature. We're searching for love on nature. Doing the opposite, going into or being willing to acknowledge an uncomfort zone is not a natural thing. But when a person does it, he's able to grow through the difficulty and connect to a deeper point of love that's behind the negativity. Okay, so I hope...
Yeah, we'll talk about it soon.
Okay. Number three, what's the hardest part about falling in love with life? So most people, 57% of people, handling challenges and setbacks. 12% finding joy in ordinary, 5% shifting from taking to giving, 26% keeping inspiration alive long term. So obviously the hard part is when people go through difficult challenges and setbacks. How do you fall in love with life when you're suffering, when you're going through a lot?
Okay, so this is a bit touching to what I answered before, because when we're searching for pleasure, any challenge is a denial of the pleasure. Any challenge is giving me a feeling of rejection. So I have to make a work here. And again, if you want to go into details, I will. I'm just answering generally. You will lead me where you want to, but I have to be willing not to run away from the pain. Understanding behind the pain, there is love. And there's a process I have to go with myself emotionally to bring me to that place, which I could go through with you and explain how to do. But this is the way. The way is all of us, 60, 70% we have difficulties with chinuch, with panuse. But we don't understand that the more we try to fill it up, the more the pain grows. Because we're not touching the root. The root of the pain is, the root of the pain is connection. The root of the pain is love. The root of the chorban is the binyan. This is the idea. The idea is that when a person is willing to look at the difficult without running away and do a certain process, which we can go through, like I said, which we will in a few minutes, then he can find the love that he lost also in the painful zone, and he loses the fear from pain. We're petrified of pain. We can't take it. I'm not asking for pain, but it's there to be. And the minute we ignore it, it grows. And then our survival mode becomes faster. Those who answered, no, altogether, yeah, that you can look backwards and see if your life become relaxed.
Relaxed.
Or the opposite. And we see that no, the more life goes, the more we run faster, and the more we find less time. So it's not working. Whatever we're doing to avoid pain is only increasing it. So we have to take the Jewish Malach. The Jewish Malach says, listen, pain is a part of connection. It's right that we're not supposed to deal with pain all day. We're supposed to deal with good things and do good things and be very productive in all ways, in all aspects. But if you don't address yourself and address Hashem through the pain also, you find the pain multiplying itself with the years. I can give some directions how to do it if you want, but this, I'm not going into it until you ask me to.
Yeah, when life feels especially heavy, overwhelming, what keeps you going? So this is 13% remembering the bigger purpose, 13% focusing on small daily moments. 51% of people, most people are saying leaning on emunah, betochen, spirituality, faith. And 23% of people support from people around me.
All are emes. I think that number 3 and 1, emunah, betochen, and looking at a higher purpose would be the same. Higher purpose would be understanding Hashem loves me and gives me here a mahalach. I can put it all under emunah, betochen. Some people don't like these answers. Because some people want more practical answers. Somebody told me, I don't go with emunah to the grocery. Somebody told me once, you know, it's like, don't give me douches, I need money. Okay? Although it doesn't contradict the ems. In other words, what I'm saying is, what's supposed to keep us going is emunah b'tuchon, but we have to put it in a more accessible words. More, when you say emunah b'tuchon, you could say it's Hashem, it's Hashem, it's Hashem. At the same time, the heart is angry at Hashem. The heart doesn't want to take it. And most of the, I'm talking about the high purpose, is flying away from the emotions, which right now are painful. We have to bridge in. You can't fly too much high to emunah b'tuchon, which are emes, without acknowledging the pain that you're going through. On the other hand, you can't get stuck with the moment right now, without lifting yourself up to emunah b'tuchon. There's a certain balance that we have to go through. Unfortunately today, Baruch Hashem, yeah, today when people come with a difficulty like this, they get usually two extreme answers. Or like, it's all from Hashem, Hashem loves you, Gagai Mevata, which is emes, but the heart can't take it today. Depends what madriga you are, but an average person, when you say this to him, he would say yes, but inside he would be angry. Inside, in his heart, in his brain, he would understand.
It's like a default answer. It's like a default answer. How you doing, Hashem?
Yeah.
How you feeling, Hashem?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm doing Eibush Mithalfen.
Yeah, exactly. And then you miss the point. On the other hand, if you start crying, oh, Yvay, and it's so hard to me, you sink down into the negativity, and you forget Hashem, it's also not the right way. There's a balance here. And again, it's very individual. And the person has to learn his balance. But there is a mahalach going from the brain into the heart, through the difficulty, and back to the brain, and back to Hashem. It's sort of a up and down that you have to use. So if you use it the right way, which we can talk about a bit, give a bit of a outlook how to do it, you can find both ways and find your balance each time. Sometimes you have to look 90% a minute, and 10% cry down what's painful. Sometimes the opposite. It changes by the day and by the person. And the art of backwards and forwards, how to use this, is the art you have to learn.
Okay, Rabbi Cohen, let's get into it. We have a lot to talk about. People want to ask questions. Let's really understand it. Okay, first live question, you're on. Hi.
You hear me?
Yep.
All right. So my question is like this. I always had a cold and distant relationship with Hashem. After doing a lot of emotional and spiritual work, I started to connect, but with fear and brokenness. And what I see first in davening is so much loib. Everything is about thanking Hashem, and I don't feel that. I am broken and pain from the pain that I have, and I just want to cry and beg Hashem to help me. And whatever I see in the davening, I want to be present with what I say. I see its appreciation, and I don't feel that. I'm not present with that. So what happens is that I can't connect to the words, and then I feel guilty that I don't have appreciation and gratitude, which I should have, and I beat up myself for that. And it's all confusing, and then I figure that it's too much for me, and I want to disconnect again because I'm harsh on myself. I have so much good in my life, but no, I'm broken. I'm sad. So can you help me with that?
Okay. First of all, thank you for the question. Just to say that I understood the question, you're saying that there's a contradiction inside you between the words of the davening, which is thanking Hashem, but a broken heart from what you're going through, and you also feel guilty again and again for lying to yourself, saying words that you don't connect to, and even a bit angry at. And this puts you in a difficult, So first of all, as we know, the best tefillah before the words is your heart, talking to Hashem, crying to Hashem, not in words, without dealing, without nothing, just a push at words in your own, even not words, even tears, saying to Hashem.
Yeah. That I could do well. That is not my problem. I could do well. My pressure is that I need to have gratitude, which I don't have.
So I'm saying, davening altogether, is most of the words, are words of thanking. There are words of heart words. So I'm saying, if you can, I don't know you, I don't know where you're standing, but I can say to you that if you would make chana before davening to give out your pain as you need, as much as it, until you feel ruig, and then go into to the davening, you have less contradiction. Altogether, I want to say something. I'm not answering. I'm very careful with what I'm saying, but I want to say it. And you take it to your own world, the person that asked, and says, saying it to everybody. We should remember that a lot of curing pain in our emotional system against Hashem has to do directly with mitzvat kibud av v'em. Because most of the emotional system of pain was bought inside us through our parents. But honest gumen, I'm not talking about parents, chas v'shalom, I'm just saying. And a part of kibud av v'em is a part of healing. That's why it's a very hard mitzvah. I don't want to go, I will go if you will challenge me to go, but why I'm pointing this? Because when a person has pain all his life and he finds himself with difficulty to connect to Hashem and thank him because of his pain, it means he can't let go of the pain. It means his work has to be more emotion, the emotional zone, versus people in front of him that he has a backwards and forwards, and from there he could more easily address his pain out the right way. I'm just saying it as a big helper, a big point of help to take out from the emotional difficulties, taking it out of the heart, which sometimes is not done when you talk to Hashem, because as the rabbi said here, we don't see it. We have to work with the emunah here. So summarizing the answer is, if it's regarding davening, do before davening of thanking with a broken heart, give it out, and then read it out, even cold. Whatever you say goes up, even if it's without a heart. It works. If you find yourself that you can't b'chlal read those words, like it makes me like, I can't. So I would say to you, okay, so the emotional work will be have to be addressed. And I'm, again, careful. Has you have to be led by somebody through the right way.
Call Halashon.
It begins with a situation with the parents that by the right kibud avaim, you'll be able to grow tremendously in a short time. I'm not addressing, again, personally. I'm just saying this is a general approach that is worth a few sessions with somebody that knows his way there to help you grow out from this pain that you're carrying so many years against, with also the feeling guilty. Everything goes back to kibud avaim, which could be, I would say easily, but clearly cleaned up the right way in order to connect back to Hashem the right way. I hope it was clear as much as possible. If you didn't get the answer, yes. You can re-ask. But
I did. I just had the question. Do you mean the guilt is because I have guilt to my parents, or it has to do with my parents? The relationship that I have with Hashem has to do with the relationship I have with my parents? That's what you mean?
100% yes. We have to understand that Hashem made it that way, but we have to be careful here. Meaning to say, at least, I'm not going into therapy. Talking about until therapy zone. Therapy has already its own theoretical rules. But until therapy, a person has to know that blaming parents is not an option. But understanding why I feel that way, Hashem made me feel that way through my parents. Not in order to point at my parents, chas v'shulam, because it's kibud avayim, it's a seret adibot. But I understand that the way I see life is the way I grew through my parents, and sometimes I have to understand myself better. Why am I always feeling guilty? Was I born with guilt feelings? The answer is no. It was put into the system, b'ashgacha pratit by Hashem, through my parents. That means, in other words, if you would grow on a lonely island, you'd feel the same anyway. Hashem made it that way, it goes through the parents. And the curing point is, that's why you will find yourself having a difficulty in kibud av va'em on those emotions b'davka. And if you will do it the right way, you'll find the curing zone that Hashem set through kibud av va'em if you do it the right way. So, makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
So Rabbi Avicha, you're saying something very powerful now, and I think everybody's hearing it, is we're talking about love. We're trying to figure out what are we looking for. And humans, growing up with the parents that we grew up, that's really where we get the concepts, whether it's feeling the love, how you feel it, and then you can connect it to something that you don't see. You talk about Hashem, and you have to love Hashem. It can be a little bit harder because you don't see it, but many people are sitting and trying to figure out, what am I looking for? I don't even know what love is. What is that love that you're telling me to love Hashem? So maybe you can talk a little bit, maybe we could understand a little bit more of what we're looking for.
Okay, so first of all, reminding the parents that our basic concepts come from the parents, positive or negative. And again, I'm very careful with this. I'm not blaming any parent, including my own. I'm just saying that's the way life is. The Gemara also says, the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Shuta de Yenuka Bishuka de Avu de Imei. This is a Jewish concept, understanding a kid talks what he heard at home. It's not only on the verbal, it's also on the emotional approach. This is how it is. So, somebody who really got a lot of love and felt a lot of love, it would be much easier for him to address, to get close to the root through feeling love from the parents, which is an unconditional love. So, from the emotional zone, he would work to get to the inner zone of the love of Hashem that's inside him anyway. Okay? If Chas v'Shalom, we didn't get this or got the opposite because that's what Hashem wanted, maybe the parents, what they went through, whatever, it's not our tough kid to judge them, there it would be much harder. There we would have to find, we would always work through the emotional concept. We can't jump into a spiritual concept. We can talk about it right now in front of the camera, but at the end of the day, the Maaseh, our concepts of love come through the emotional zone and the logical approach, which is serving that emotional zone on daily basis. So let's talk on both sides. From the side of the person that felt the love from the parents and is giving love to his kids, he can already relate more to this unconditional zone. especially when he gets to a situation when he doesn't feel, and he does because he understands that there's love inside this. Let's give an example, okay? Let's say I have a son, which is not going in the right way. Okay, I'm a Hasidish, and I chose a way, and he chose another way, okay? And I love my son, and I know I love my son because he's my son, but when he goes on the street, it gives me a lot of difficulties, okay? Bushot, fears, what's going to be, guilt feelings, and all this, Now, if I'm working the right way, and I say, first of all, I know Hashem loves me, and this is a must. But I feel terrible with this kid. I feel it gives me bishes. I feel, I give all the list out. How can I love this kid when he gives me bishes? How can I love him emotionally? And then, and I answer myself, you love him anyway. The way you feel is not the emes of what you have with this kid. It's what you feel. It's not the emes. And I want you to start, approaching to him, giving him words of love, and start following the MS, even though it contradicts your feelings. Yeah, but I can't. I feel I hate him. Okay? If you feel you hate him, let's go back to your own emotional zone and see why do you feel that way. It has nothing to do with the kids. It has to do with yourself. You hate yourself for being different. You hate yourself. It only triggers something inside you. And now your work is going to be with yourself. Why do I hate myself for not being perfect? Why do I feel that I always have... It's going to go back to me and Hashem. What feeling Hashem gave. So action-wise, I will relate to my son through him. I will know the emes, and I will take my emotions, so to speak, the koyach, to do what is right to do. And when I come to myself, I will do the same thing. I will understand that what I'm feeling now is not the inner emes, and I will give myself... It could be good words, it could be understanding, it could be, it depends what I need. It's accepting myself and even accepting my anger, whatever it is. And in this way, I'm starting to emotionally internalize the inner emes that's inside me. We have to understand this. Look, let's talk. Do I have time to go a bit deeper? Because
please.
I'm going, Mom.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, can you talk?
Please, yeah.
But what happens is like this. When a kid grows, there's a full of love inside him, which is inside and is surrounded with emotions, whatever it is. He has no access to these emotions. The more he grows up, the more he has concepts, and he uses those concepts to run away from pain, as we mentioned. He's not aware of it. What happens is, when it comes to connect to people, he can only connect from zones that are that he's aware of. But the inner zones, he has no access to them. When does he get the access to the inner, deeper zones of the nefesh? When he gets married. When he gets married, what happens is, he finds his other half, and they become one neshama in two dimensions. Those two dimensions, when a person gets married, he gets the key to his inner zone of the emotions that he was not aware of until today. Because of Pi-Toyre, marriage is not only a contract, it's becoming a different being a second after the chuppah. What's a different being? A different being means that you have your external reflection, which could lead you into your inner zones of pain and pleasure. And then when you get married, you have a more access to your also negative zones. Let's say you're very lonely, always, and there's a lonely zone inside that was never addressed. And altogether, you were a nice guy in yeshiva, you had friends, you were happy. Suddenly you get married, and you find yourself feeling lonely with your spouse. How could it be? So if you're clever, you understand it's not your spouse. Something inside me is coming up through my spouse. I never felt it until today. And with my spouse, we can figure it out together. When I give my spouse love, give her good words, it also goes into my system. So through your other half, you can find the love you lost inside you. Unless you blame her for feeling bad, then you lose both. What I'm trying to say is, Hashem gives us the tools if we're willing to take the challenge. and to address our emotional system. And negative, especially, also positive, and to understand this negativity is not reality. It's only a part of reality. The reality is inside. There's something waiting for you to find. Be masking to go through this pain and give, even though it's painful. And from the zone, you'll find the love, emotionally going step by step into your emotional zone also. I hope it's clear what I'm saying, Rav Menachem?
Yeah, we'll continue with a few more questions, and I'm sure it's going to come out. More of the concept.
I just want you to understand, I'm talking here, people here, Baruch Hashem, clever people, everything has a lot of layers inside. I won't start digging too much and losing other people. I'm talking from the above, of course. These things are process, but it's all clear process. It's not like very clear or the balances, where to put the emina, where the bituchim, where the pain, where to cry with it, where to be with it. And everything has a very clear way. It's not
mumble jumble.
Yeah, very clear.
Amazing.
Any other questions?
Oh, a lot of questions. Yeah, yeah.
I can't see, but.
Yeah, yeah. Give me 1 second. Hi.
Hi. What would the Rav say to someone who, let's say, sometimes a person has a challenge that causes a, like, existential angst. Like, you worked on bitachon and you really believe and you really, really trust, and you could say Parak Yud Gimel and you could feel it from the beginning to the end, including the last pasuk, and yet, and you feel and you understand that Hashem is with you, and you feel, even with the disappointment, you feel that Hashem is there with you, and yet you don't feel the menuchas hanefesh as a result of that. Like, you genuinely love Hashem. You really feel like he's definitely doing this for my benefit, but there's still that the Yeshua isn't there. So there's an angst that doesn't go away, that you live with every second of the day. That doesn't go away.
So let me see if I understood the question. You're saying at the end of the day, even though I know it's a shame and I also feel it, there are zones inside that this emuna does not go through into, and there's no menuchas hanefesh. This is the question? Did I get the question right?
So the question is, yeah, so what happens then? You did the work, you genuinely feel, I believe, like, a person could feel that it's coming from Hashem, and they understand that it's coming from Hashem intellectually and emotionally, and yet, if it's too hard, or if the person is still dealing on a regular basis with the challenge, day in, day out, and they have to also deal with the practical, like the Rav said, like going into the grocery store, or like the hestadlus, or the, I don't know, for instance, treatments or meetings, or there's an angst that comes along, even if a person fully believes. If a person's not where they want to be, or they don't have something that really they feel like they need.
I think our question is, if somebody's waiting for a Yeshua, or waiting for Parnassah, or waiting for a baby, or waiting for something, or in need of something, even though you know Hashem's with you the whole time, that you have clear, down pat. I know Hashem's doing this to me, I know Hashem's with me. So you would automatically equate, you should feel relaxed and look at, like, this is what it is, and it's going to be good soon, or whatever it is. I'm with Hashem. Why can she equate that Hashem's doing everything and knows that it's good, but doesn't make her feel relaxed or calm?
Okay. So let me answer you from a story that happened to me many years ago. Lo aleinu lo aleichem, Hashem yishmarani, only b'soros tovos. But I went many years ago to Menachem Meir that he lost a son. 2 years, this Yid was a Talmud Chacham, was a Oyved Hashem, he was a nice guy, a very Klal Yisrael like a guy. And I went to Menachem, and you know something, he was sitting there, and giving droshes of a minute, and betochen. And people came in to Mechaz, they came out of Mechizek, mamash. When Hashemayim, that was happened, I went in, I was there with another guy, and I was sitting, and he said to me, oh, Avichai, say something for Chizek. I said, I have to say, I came to be with you, with your difficulty, with your pain, I didn't answer. He said, but say something. He said, you really want to hear what I have to say? He said, yeah. I asked him, you don't feel any pain? He said to me, what do you mean? Hashem is good. He said, you don't feel any pain? He looks at me like, what did he say? And he burst out crying. To pieces. He was crying. It was the third or fourth day of Shiva. I didn't shed one tear. He was crying to, and I was crying with him. What can I do? I mean, words? There's no words for this. It's painful. Be with him. The guy next to me got fried. What are you doing, Shiva? He came, went out. The guy was sitting next to me. Couldn't take it. I was crying with him for 15 minutes. Just crying. They understood what I said. I went out. The guy was next to me was outside. He said to me, what are you doing? You came to Menachem, you break it. He said, I didn't break him. I was just crying with his pain. He said to me, it's a damage. I said to him, you know something? Let's talk in 2 weeks. This year, the Talmud Chacham came to me after a week saying, thank you for being the shliach to save my spiritual life. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was talking and giving and feeling Hashem is with me, but I had so much pain and anger at Hashem for what he did to me, which I was ignoring. And you didn't do it on purpose, said to me, but when you were crying with me, I let it all out. And afterwards, when I said it from Hashem, there was still pain there. But it was with Melichas and Nefesh. I'm asking you for your question, Lolenu Lolechem Chas Vishulam only B'Simchus. What you say to me, is it natural? We're all in the same boat. There are levels how much we can internalize the Havas Hashem. When it comes down to the grocery, sometimes there we kvetch, sometimes we feel better. One thing for sure is that on those zones that you feel kvetch, you have to let them out. And it's ups and downs. Sometimes you feel amazing when you come to the grocery kilo with no money. You feel it with Hashem, you see Siyata Tishma. Sometimes you feel vicious and terrible. We're people. Hashem's not expecting us to be angels. But he is expecting us that when something is bothering us, when we admit it's bothering me, this is the work. I connected from there. It doesn't always feel good. I'm asking with you. I agree with you. But don't always feel amazing. But as long as we hold the work, this is what Hashem is asking for us. Let me add something. There's another point here. Many times we suffer from the concepts, not from the actual pain. I'll give you an example. A person feels he has no money, okay? And he's broken to pieces. You all agree, when there's no money, it's very hard. But let me ask you, what is he suffering more? From not having money, or from his concept that when this person has no money, he's nothing? It could be that this person is uncomfortable for not having money, but he's suffering from a concept inside him that if a person has no money, he's worth nothing. Most of the time a person is suffering from the concept, not from the actual fact. Why am I adding this? To make the picture a fair picture. Life is not to be always, it's not always pleasurable. It's not always gishmak. But Hashem is always there and He loves us always. And we have the work to live with Him, with the good zone and with the dark zone, which with the years goes down when you work the right work. But saying, if I have dark zones, they have to go away, I can't be with them, is a false concept. Because they're people, and we're going to always have some pain inside us, which is there. It's going to be until the Geula Shlema, which is going to be, until then, we're going to have dark zones we have to accept inside us. And by the way, if we use those zones to give others, to feel others' pain, it's also part of curing. If I connect to a person from a zone of feeling helpless, and I know that zone, and I see a helpless Yid, and I talk to him from that zone, automatically I'm healing that zone also. Because I put love into the painful zone with others, and I connect. And this connection is a part of the healing zone inside. So for those places that are you still feel that you can't work with, find somebody that you could give through that zone. Whatever it is by you. It could be your kid, it could be your spouse, it could be a friend. The minute you use this for giving, this itself is already a curing zone to find Hashem there by connecting to another yid.
Saying when somebody's in the downer or somebody's going through something hard.
You're
saying when somebody's in a downer or somebody's going through a hard time, that's the time they should give and that's the time they should connect.
That's after understanding themselves and giving themselves the balance of the munah about the pain and being able to contain it and from there give. Don't do it before you did something with yourself. This will not work. Be acknowledging it and feeling it and giving it out, crying it out and doing the work over munah after balancing. Then the part of giving is the makib apatish, so to speak, is ending or upgrading that zone. You have to be giving through that zone. If you any zone that you feel lonely, not feeling the love, it means there Hashem is asking you to be connected and to give. So in the easy zones, it's easy. In the simcha, we all give. When it's set down, let's see you standing up and going to give somebody. So after doing the work of crying it out, of understanding it's from Hashem, but letting it out and connecting and accepting yourself, then giving to another.
Okay.
It works 100%. It works. It's not my invention. It's all over. This is a Jewish word and it works. You can see it all over. And gemachim and people giving and doing, it's amazing to see the koch of it to bring through a difficulty.
Many times you have to realize, is the person doing it because he's running away from that pain? Or it's after what you said, first you have
to,
that's a very tricky part.
Okay, yeah. Menachem says there are very important thing is to explain. If I had a pain, let's say my son went, I'll give me bishes. Okay, and I go and I start crying. So bishes, and I'm so angry. I'm giving out, and I understand myself, and I know it's from Hashem, I know it's from you, but it's so hard for me. It's not easy. Okay, it's not easy, but you do the work, and then you say, okay, I give a call to a person I know he has difficulties with his son, what's going on. If I don't run away to it, I go through myself, and from there I give through it, this is good. If you run away to it, what happens is, the chesed you did. But you find afterwards a bigger anger inside you because you didn't relate to yourself, that's what Hashem wanted for you. Hashem wanted you to connect to Hashem through yourself and from there give. So we can't go above this. You go through this. So, this is very important. Everything I'm saying is nice theoretically. It's work. It's work you have to work with daily base. You have to sit with yourself, listen to yourself, to breathe in. There's work that you have to do, but when you do it on a daily basis, it becomes your second, maybe your first language, and then you can cope and connect to every situation, connect to yourself, connect to the low parts or the dark parts, and connect to Hashem, put them together, and from there, give, which is the...
Okay. Let's go to the next question. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, okay, so my question is, if someone was physically and emotionally abused as a child, and now they have tremendous hatred, like, towards people, towards Hashem, how do they, like, start, quote-unquote, loving Hashem? Like, even if they're from, and they don't really, like, feel that at all, and also the fear is that they're not, that they're gonna just drop, like, all the mitzvahs in general. Cause they recently started stopping to daven. So, what would you, like, say to that?
First of all, you're putting up a very painful point. When a person was lamassa, damaged and hurt by the surroundings, wherever it is, and is carrying, deep pain and automatically, naturally hatred to the system and those who are sort of reflecting the system, and he has difficult. I would tell this person, I'm not giving orders, but generally not to work on the spiritual. First of all, healing himself. Healing himself is basically teaching himself to be, to understand himself, to accept himself, that he's allowed to feel what he feels. And even, and again, I'm not giving orders to a specific, just altogether. If I would take, I'll give you, I did it for years. When you see a person that went off the derech, and he does nothing. You can't talk to him ruchnis. And when you talk to him ruchnis, you push him away from Hashem. You push him away from Hashem. What do I do? I get close to him, give him food, give him a smile, give him a hug, take him to gym, let him feel a mensch, a person, a being. And if he has trauma, he has to go for a special help for trauma. He has to go to a psychologist, knows his way for trauma, and do trauma work. He has, first of all, to be a udom, a person. And so I'm not saying, I don't have the shoulders to give a head to, don't dive on, I'm saying, but the approach, the Jewish approach is, when a person is considered traumatic, he has to go to professional work to get out of this trauma, and then you can talk to him about davening and all these things, but trying to do things without taking care of his trauma. So it depends how deep the damage is, because if he lost trust in parents and system and he was, abused, so he has to disconnect from where he is and rebuild himself in the right basic way. And from there go back into Judaism, but he can't talk to him Judaism when he's bleeding. I will not start going, somebody had an accident and he's spitzing blood on the, and I'm a Hatzule, and I'm going to the guy and I sent him, it's Omen HaShamayim. In 2 seconds. What's someone in the Shaman giving him? Bandage him up. Put him what he needs. Take him to hospital.
Let's say they're already in therapy, but like, isn't it like halacha that, like, you need a daven, you need to do everything, you know?
So I'm answering again. If a person, I'm not poisek to give orders to anybody. I'm saying one push a thing. For some people, you have to ask somebody who's in this zone, meaning to say, let's say go to therapy.
Let's say they're in therapy already.
So it depends what kind of therapy and how deep the damage is. I know by certain people that were heavily damaged, I'm not saying, I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you a story that happened. I was in these things somebody was deeply, deeply abused. And this rabbi said, he's put him in a mitzvah. And he told the psychology, talk to me. The psychology sat with the rabbis, he told him what he's doing. So rabbi told him, we'll talk in 3 months. Okay, he's put him in a mitzvah. So this is not a tour for everybody. There is an option by Torah that a person needs to let go. You have to ask somebody who is dealing with this, not anybody, a person who is dealing with nefesh. That is...
Right. So in this situation, you're saying not to really first think about loving Hashem. It's first about the healing. And then you can, if it's shayach, to deal with some more spiritual, like religious, quote unquote, things.
I'm saying it even more. I'm saying that the love of Hashem is to take care of yourself, to be healthy, to go back to Hashem. That's what Hashem wants from you. It's not two things. The spiritual work that you need is to take care of yourself.
Right.
It's not two things. It's one thing. But the dimension is now the emotional, physical dimension has to be addressed more before the spiritual. I'm not talking to you specific. There's a situation. This is what Hashem wants. If the person will,
right. But what about, like you said, part of the healing is to help others that were also in your situation. So that's also part of the process? Like, that's one step after a person heals themselves?
This he has to talk to a professional that is taking care of him, if it's right for him to do. Because also going to give yourself when you're not set up with yourself yet, and you're not ready for it, is a danger for you also. So you have to ask a person that is a professional that is dealing with this, am I yet able to do what I'm supposed to do or not? This is a question for a doctor that is dealing with these things to see where you're ready to reach out sometimes not supposed to. when to reach out, and it's very individual, and it's a question for a doctor.
Right. But like, how do you get rid of like the hatred towards Hashem? You're saying that is healing. Whenever you heal, you don't feel like the hatred towards
Hashem.
You
have the ability. Yeah. You have the ability when you balance in to the normal situation, even though there's a lot of hatred, then yes, definitely yes. It is definitely doable.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doable.
God,
I'm
okay,
not saying it's
you.
Easy, but it's definitely doable.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi.
Sluch.
Let's look at the next question. Hi.
Hello. Yasher koyach for this very, very special topic. My question is like this. I'm listening. I'm trying to absorb. And I feel like we got a little hint in the introduction. And now we're getting little pieces as everyone is asking questions. But I'm wondering, I feel like one of the hints that was given was that there is a pathway. There is a mahalach. There is a derech. And I'm wondering if it would be possible to put forth what is that pathway to moving past our blocks to really experiencing and letting in that ahavas oilam ahavtanu, to really living in that reality.
I hear the question. You're asking me in a push-it way to put a long course in a few minutes.
Oh, okay, no, it's a question.
Wait, which is a plus and a minus. The plus is, so people should hear there's a mahalach. Okay, they won't do it, but at least I see something. On the other hand, it could be a problem because if a person hears a mahalach without doing the work, he could lose it because he doesn't internalize it. So I'll tell Rav Menachem to decide what he wants me to do. If you want, whatever you say, I'm...
Give us an outline, and for those who want to continue, we'll have to reach out afterwards. But first, give us like a basic idea of how it's possible and what we're looking for.
Okay. So I'll try and do it. I never did it in the short, I do it in one course, but I'll try and put it a pashut. Okay, we have from Har Sinai a derech, a way how to work with difficulties. Let's talk about negative emotions. Negative emotions, just you should know, negative emotions and difficulties, or in other words, disconnection from ourselves, are described in the Sforim as gulis. Gulis means I'm not in my place. Galut. When a person is not in his place, whether it's logical, emotional, or physical, it's galut, okay? Galut and geula are two opposites. They go together. And how to face galut and go through it, a metzapel geula, and get to geula, is a way that was taught to us by Tzadikei Hadolos. There are three points, or three levels. I'm talking very general, of course, very general, okay? And that we take. It's called in Sforim Hachnue, Havdule, and Amtuke. Hachnue, Havdule, Amtuke. Hachnue is first. It's going from the logical Amina, which we understand, into connecting to the pain and difficulty we have and accepting it. Until you don't accept it, you can't move forward. This is number one, is to nichna, is to accept the situation, to accept myself with whatever it is, without losing my head. It's from Hashem, but yet giving it out and being with it. This is achnua. Number two is avdula. Avdula is making an inner separation after accepting myself, to separate between my inner emes versus my emotional feeling versus my gulas, understanding it's only an emotion, it's not the inner emes, and this is doable only after accepting it. You can't jump to this. You have to accept the situation. After accepting it, then you can depart between the emes versus the feeling, which is not done before acceptance, because before acceptance, what I feel is what I am. I see nothing else. And after doing the right work of Achnua, you go to Avdula and you separate. After you have a separation, then you start doing the Amtuke, which is putting away false concepts, learning the concept instead of putting you into this pain again and again, and changing the concepts, and ending with Imuna B'tuchen at the end. Gives you back to Hashem. So it's a chnoa, it's very general. It's acceptance through a process. After the acceptance, it gives them the ability to separate, inner separation, between the emes versus the feeling, which already helps me grow out of it, because the minute I can separate it myself, it means I'm already not extra involved with it. And the third one is to get myself out to understanding what brought me in, what concept brought me in, and going back to Hashem. This is the basic, so how to do the achnu exactly, and then took care. This is already in course I won't give, but this is the way. It's not my inventions. It's all, that's what I say. It's clear, it's very cut, and it touches all levels. It goes from the top of understanding everything's Hashem, down into the verbal point, into the action point, into the feeling point, as hard as it is, accepting it, connecting to it the right way, without boundaries, from there starting to make the separation, and going back to Hashem that put me in the situation from the beginning. So this is
good. For an outline, it's amazing. So we now,
it sounds like what you're saying is, we go with naturally straight Hashem, that we're programmed, and that's the way we give our chinuch, that we just, everything is from Hashem, and we have to like, but then when we really don't ever accept the pain and the reality of it. Right. Like if somebody Hashem loses a child, somebody Hashem suffering with money, we keep on for years and years, and oh, it's Bashar, it's what Hashem wants, whatever, but we don't really bring it down to the reality of the real deep feeling. So you're saying the first part, again, obviously this is deeper, and you can explain it deeper, but I'm saying to push people to understand it. Let's use the money example. So maybe an easier example. Somebody loses a lot of money and they're living very poor. So then you're living Hashem, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Hashem's going to help me. You're constantly saying all these words, but you're not just ever sitting there and just saying, it really is painful for me to be in this situation. I don't like it.
Terrible. I lost money. What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? Just accept it.
Yeah.
Then once you work through that, which could take years or whatever amount of time it does, and you really feel it, then you could say, okay, there's the reality part of it. And then there's the part that's not the reality part. Let's break it down. Let's say, every example is obviously different, but let's say the reality of not having money, which is hard to buy things that you want to buy. And then the part of you're feeling bad for yourself, you're feeling anxious because it's embarrassing. You're breaking down that part. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There's more details. Yeah, but this is a general approach. And like I said in the beginning, usually we go up to the emes, to the pure emes. The emes is pure, but we're not there yet with the heart. You can't jump above it. In our generation, it's not doable. Jumping above...
We're doing it with logic. I know it's Hashem, so then it's good. Because my brain says it's good. You're never feeling it. So you're
in your heart, you're angry at Hashem.
Correct.
And when you don't relate to it, it grows more. Until it pops out. So tomorrow you're not going to daven, and the day after you're not going to call your parents, and the day after you're not going to... It doesn't stay, it just grows until it pops out. You know, many times people today that fell off the derech, that some parents come to me, he was in the yeshiva, he learned so good. Suddenly one day, he went off. Pitom. I said, it can't be. No, his friend showed him something. Hello. It doesn't work that way. Pitom. It's not pitom. Something happened in the system that was not addressed. And on this, it popped out. And that's how we relate to ourselves. We're not aware of pain that we're carrying or need that we need. Suddenly we fall. I'll give another example. Let's say, Nishoyanis today, a girl never got love home. I'm not blaming. Parents are busy. It's an Nishoma, needs love. Okay, so functioning. One day she walks on the street, somebody says to her, hi. Boom, she falls. What happened? Get your love. She's craving for love, and it wasn't, so the first one to give it is gonna, suddenly it comes out. A person can't take this nisoyin. Saying what you're saying. When a person is not relating to a need, to a pain, to a difficulty, and going above it, to the emes, to Hashem, it's all Hashem. That kid's Hashem. Yeah? But, our generation especially, is gonna lose Hashem also. And why am I saying our generation was the chilek? Somebody told me once, he said, my parents were Holocaust survivors. And Baruch Hashem, nobody spoke about emotions, and everybody, Baruch Hashem, is on the derech. I said to him, if your parents would speak about emotions, you wouldn't be here. Okay? Because their nisayon was not to touch the emotions, to build Yiddishkeit again. But Am Yisrael needs to bring it back, because this is what Hashem wants. Mitzvot HaTlayot
Balev. If they continue to do the chinuch the same way their parents did, then their kids might tell them that they're missing something. They might.
Yeah, I'm asking, but even not, just to explain that sometimes you don't address
sometimes
the pain.
You have to shut it down.
Yeah, but in our generation, it has to be addressed. If you don't address difficulties, you lose 100%. Too many thousands of people are, achmonos of, achen bnei sol, everybody all over, people are suffering from, everybody's good inside, everyone wants to love, and when it doesn't come out, even in with your spouse, with your kids, people are suffering. And they're full of good and love, they just want to give and want to be. And everybody wants to connect to Hashem, even though he hates him. If he hates him, it means he believes in him. So he wants to connect. And if you do the right work, b'zat Hashem, this is siyata d'shmaya.
Can I just add to that? I think my question was a little bit more like, what are we looking for at the other side of that? And how do we get there? Especially if like what you were talking about earlier, if we didn't have that experience, or if we don't really, you know, we weren't brought up that way, or it's impossible to really know from a human flesh and blood what Hashem's love really means. What are we reaching toward, and how do we get there? And to add even deeper to that question is that, you know, there is definitely a part of our society and a part of ourselves that's been sitting, you know, that has not been in touch with our emotions. But then there's a lot of awareness and Coach Menachem shows and therapy and coaching that's a lot more accepted, and talking about your emotions, especially woman to woman, you know, especially in the woman's world for sure, maybe not so much in the men's world. And then we see people that just sit in that, and they sit in their anger and they sit in their pain, and they're healing forever and ever. So, you know, like, I feel like what's after that? And what are we reaching toward? What are we aiming for? What does it look like? What are something?
Yeah, I want to be honest with you. It's like telling a girl, how does it feel to be a mother? What do the answer?
You'll see when you get there. Metz Hashem, yeah.
Oh, no, but what am I looking for? What am I looking for? What did you say there?
It's a great feeling, you know?
Yeah, but no. I'm just saying, the ultimate answer is what I told you, but Pshtut, we all have love inside us, even if it wasn't addressed and we don't have the right picture, but when we heal our pain, it comes out. There's love inside you to come out. And when you're not busy with the anger, but busy with giving out of understanding, not just to run away to, step by step, you start feeling the love that's inside you, this love of Hashem that is burning inside you, even though it was not given in the beginning. In other words, it's easier for a person that was given love from the outside to be close to the shoresh, to the root, to understand what he's looking for. Somebody who never knew nothing about it and only knew the opposite has to lean on the emunah that Hashem has inside him and do the work with himself and give at a certain point, even if it's with the kids, or cleaning the anger and the zone that is blocking this love from coming out. In other words, there's love inside us anyway. And if we never felt it from the outside, the similarity, so we work on darkness. But the more we give, again, out of awareness, and accepting that place, it step by step grows out. How does it feel there? When you have the mazel tov, believe me, you will know. I can tell you about tshuva. I'm still about tshuva, and I'm gonna die about tshuva, b'zat Hashem, I have a sphere. Not in one thing. About tshuva is not only a secular person. Every person that goes, it's a shuv, to go back to work, go back to your inner self, which is Hashem inside you. People think, going, tshuva is a geshmaki thing, and I remember understanding suddenly that what is blocking me from feeling this power of love inside me is a certain jail of emotions that I ignored with the years. And with doing the work, and of course davening and learning, but the emotional work also, and I want to mention that I don't know specifically our culture, Menachem, Baruch Hashem, everybody has what to offer, good things to give, a lot of techniques which are all, everything you can use to get close and healthier, Baruch Hashem. So at the end of the day, a Yid has to, whether he likes it or not, inside he likes it, we have to address it to Hashem at the end of the day. It's not only feeling good with myself. It's connecting to Hashem. Now, when a person is, so to speak, so painful that he can't put them together, it has to go through a certain process before most of the people are in the zone which they can put them together in a different balance each time. This is work. I can't say more than this because it's going to be a bruchah lebatule. You have to go through birth to know what it is. And it's work. This is the work.
If it's okay, can I just summarize what I understood?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So to work through the emotions and the pain and whatever emotions are coming up, not to push them away or to sidetrack them, or like we say, like the spiritual bypass is like a big word, like in English, like to not to jump to the next level before you're actually working through what you are actually experiencing, to give consciously, especially when feelings of loneliness come up, from the space of knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then the Hachna Havdalah Hamtaka, which fits right into what you were saying, which was the separating out, Hachna accepting and then separating which part of the emotions are you and me, and then only ultimately connecting to the emes that we've studied and we know and we have in our hashkafa, and then touching that. That's what I understood. And if I could just add one more point to that, is that you mentioned very, very slightly in passing this idea of when you yourself in your life broke through where you felt you were very strongly blocked emotionally from connecting to Hashem. You're repeating that story was a very, very strong turning point in my life. I turned on your story on Torah Anytime. I believe it's there at a point in my life where I very strongly wanted to experience way more emotional realness in my life. And I felt very strongly blocked. And listening to that story was such a strong turning point. I just realized that it's so much in Hashem's hands. And I had my own very strong breakthrough from hearing your story. So thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity to ask my questions further here.
Well, thank you for the chizuk. I would say every yid is a fascinating story, but usually people don't see it on themselves. That's how it goes usually. And they get chizuk from others. You can see the story if you want, or anytime, wherever. It is a fascinating story, but I would say we have the same story with a different background. Each one takes it in a different background. Sometimes you don't see it in yourself, but like you said, that's how we take chizuk. That's how it goes.
Thank you.
Okay, Rabbi Kol Meredith, let's go to the next question.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Rabbi Cohen. I'm Yitzchak. It's really bechavod to meet you. Thank you for everything from your service in Sahal to your service to Yidden now, like, wow, you're just an amazing shliach for so many great things. I hope to meet you one day. But, you know, I come from a background where, you know, the American yeshiva background, where back in the day, you know, I'm in my 40s, they didn't talk about the things they're talking about now. These kids have, in a way, so much more access to mental health, or why do I have to feel this way? Why am I down? And, like, things were, like, brushed under the rug when I grew up. And for me specifically, like, I just always turned everything into an emotional decision. Everything was coming through emotion. Everything was not logical. In other words, you could say, hey, that makes sense to do this. No, I would use it. I'd come up with fear. I'd come up with some kind of reason I couldn't do it. And it's kind of like it's a lot of poison in the mind. Yetzer hara, whatever you want to call it. And it led to a lot of need to isolate, to be vague, to deflect, to not be honest with people. Other addictions that have come out of that because there's so much pain inside. I'm someone who does hispododos. I'm someone who has been attracted to Rabbi Nachman since I'm a teenager, because it's kind of the only thing that ever made sense to me was those booklets. It's just ABC and simple. But that doesn't mean I didn't struggle. That doesn't mean I only have an access, though, to talk to Hashem, like, as a friend. I don't daven that much formally anymore, because it's just very hard for me to do that, but I still do talk to Hashem. I want to ask you if you could tell me like any kind of route that maybe like in a small way, one thing I could add in to like love myself a little more and not to take myself so, my thoughts so seriously, not to take my feelings so seriously and maybe allow Hashem's bracha to come in and not, I don't want to say block it, but maybe not, you know, what can I say? Maybe allow things to happen instead of trying to control things too much. Thank you.
If you can translate, I heard most of what he said. Can you phrase it into a question, please?
Yes.
Rabbi Menachem or Usha.
He'll say it.
Okay. I need things broken down in small steps. I'm not looking for a grand slam because that will never work. So, like, what ideas would you have for someone who not only is struggling to even go to Minyan and Davin anymore, but like I said, I do talk to Hashem in his Boredus, but nothing is sticking to make me come out of the traps my mind sets for me all the time.
Oh, Menachem, can you repeat
that
question?
He's looking for something practical that's going to help him connect himself, to connect Hashem, to get him out of where he is. He's in a place where he's connected to Hashem, but he doesn't really daven. He talks to Hashem, but he feels trapped. Question is, what's something practical that he can do, something small, that will help him with his situation?
So it depends very much on the person. I think basically having a good friend that you could talk to on a permanent base, on the good things and the bad things, having a friend that you could talk to, you could grow a lot in all aspects. A, get out from the loneliness that you're in. B, have more clue kite on what's really happening to you, even though you could explain it to me. But when there's somebody in front of you that you meet him, I'm not talking about therapist, a friend, as is, a friend that you trust, or even you don't trust, and you tell it to him that they feel you don't trust him. And when you have a friend and you're not alone, it's definitely, it's a very simple, practical, itzah that works. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't do it. Why? Because people feel judged, people are afraid. But if you find one good friend, I'm telling you, you have no idea how much better. I am his friend. When I say friend, I mean somebody that it's a relationship, you need one, that you know that somebody sees you, knows you, and you have a place. This automatically is giving tremendous growth out of corners of pain and things that you were stuck with for years. So this is, it's doable that you try it. Okay. I'm telling you myself, I'm a known person, I have a lot of friends. I meet almost every week, and when I go to America, come next week, yeah, I have a Zoom session, 2 hours, Chok Baliavo with a good friend. Yeah, we talk, we shmiza, I want everything. This is, it's wow. It's like, it took me time to accept. And when I was in the army, I had friends in the army, but it's a friend the whole way, even in the inner situation when you're aware and you share and you're there. It's a wow. It's a good eitzah and a very Jewish eitzah. Which, chavruta o mituta, the Torah says, if you don't have a friend, you can't grow. You can't really grow. I mean, inner growth is when you have a friend. You need a friend.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a massive point. You should know that I'm actually trying to start like in a 12-step way, just men, because men have so many issues being open with other men, from men especially. Maybe that's changing. I think it is, because of everything that's going on now, podcasting, not from these things, but like, just in a small thing, maybe a Shabbos group, 6 men to just be open with each other. And I'd be amazed. I'm trying to put it together. That's like,
count you in.
Okay. You're in, but thank you very, very much. Yeah, the isolation can be defeated with a friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome, Yoli.
Hi, Amal.
Yep.
Hi, Rav Avichai. Thank you so much for coming on. Do you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. I see how I feel.
Thank you. Question. There's so many different questions and so many insights. Let me ask you something as follows. What would you say? There's like Coach Menachem has every week somebody coming up and there's a million people giving advice. And there is a lot of advice, but like the previous person said, there's a lot of awareness today and we know different things. How is it so important? What's the difference between dealing from an emotional, with emotions as a yid or as a guy? How's the difference going to a therapist, talking to a friend, reading a book, listening to a podcast? Or is there something specific, or maybe it's all the same? Is there something specific that's different because we're yidden and we have information that apparently for a lot of people, for everybody, maybe to some extent, the information that we have is not helping us in our emotional life? Is there something that we need from the Goyim? Is there something that's wrong from the Goyim? That's pretty much it.
First, it's Chokmah v'Goyim Talmin. Tereh b'Goyim al Talmin. Any Chokmah in a Goyim Chokmah, person could use for the benefit of getting close to Hashem. But Torah b'Goyim al Talmin means that the ability of this wisdom to go into your deepest points is not doable. In other words, you can and you should use any kind of etzah that you can take that is helping you to upgrade, but don't lean on this etzah to fix your inner zone of choice. The inner zone of choice is lefitoya is only for yid. The ultimate.
Could you say in other words, what does it mean? Inner zone of choice.
So let me take a step forward with this answer. But first of all, this is basically, I'm asking you from the end to the beginning. Then you say, can we take something from the grandma? I said, we're taking a lot of things on Seder. What do you want? The minute you take something, you use the world, l'chvot shamayim, and you take it in the right proportion, is yofi. Be'emet, you're asking, what is the chiluk between psychology or chokhmas agoyim for toyet? So, it's known to be that the psychological world, which helps a lot of people are benefiting, Baruch Hashem, people get help, so we need to help for techniques to work, is based on, generally, of course, it's very ignorant to talk about saying psychology in 5 minutes. It's a world, yeah? But altogether, it's a wisdom that is based on the approach that a person is, sorry to say, a very developed, chaz v'shalom animal, which is very intelligent. It has no access to understanding of what is a neshama and what is the choice of a person that sometimes has to go through a tikkun and through a way. Let me put it a bit different. By us, altogether, the ikkar is to live a emesdike life. And I have to do anything I gotta do to upgrade my emotional zone to get close to the ems, which goes through pleasure or pain or whatever. But the ikkar is the emes, not the feeling. Okay? Meaning to say, I will work with the emes and will upgrade the feeling. But I won't.
Emes? What does the word emes mean?
Wait. Lat. Clearly. So you have a lot of questions, especially through this, as we know, not from today. This is a developed zone of questions, okay? And there's a big crowd. I will answer both included. So number one is, we can use and we should use the outside world because Hashem made it also for us to use Avod Shamayim. A. B. Layers inside us of Ruach v'Neshama, which only a Yid has. It brings us to a guidance into a more inner zone of choice. Okay? Meaning, working to adjust the emotional zone to the Emes. The Emes of the Torah is there. The approach to reality, what is the emes of reality, is there from Hashem. And now we have to work to adjust our emotional zone to this emes. So the ikar is the emes, and the tool is the emotion. It's a tool. In the Goyim world, the idea of pure emes, of ultimate emes, does not exist. They have emes, they would say this, but the approach to ultimate emes is not there. Therefore, it changes by the place and the time. So adjusting the emotion to what? It's something which is relative, not ultimate. What would we say? So it's not good? We wouldn't say this because we're using it. But we always have to address the emes. This is the basic chinuk. Mm-hmm. We will not do something that contradicts the ultimate emes to upgrade our emotional zone. It's not an option. And the other side, there, a thing could be done to upgrade the emotional zone. If it's not legal here, do it somewhere else. It has nothing to do with tafka, the emes. So that is why if a yid will take only the goshi approach, Mistama will get help and will grow. But to really reach, to find the inner love that's inside him, ultimately will not be able to do it only with the external world. He has to do Torah. And this is one of the pshatim of Chochma Bagoyim Tamin, Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. You cannot find the ultimate love inside you without using the ultimate emes that is inside you also, which is the Torah and the Raisa V'Kud Shabrich Ochad. Now I know that there's a lot to talk about it. I'm not going to do it not in 10 minutes and not in 10 hours also, but I can refer you to books to talk about it if you want. You can go in and see and search.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any good books to start with?
Any what?
Good books to start with?
Yes. It depends what kind of things that you like, but if a person wants to know about, there's a set of Derech Hashem of the Ramchal. Derech Hashem, that is explaining about the structure of reality and the koyach, the koyach is a nefesh, Derech Hashem la Ramchal. And this is, if you want something more, from today's, it depends. But I can tell you there's a set of books that's called, I don't know what it's in English, Da'at Atzmecha. Da'at Atzmecha.
Bilvavi.
Bilvavi, yeah. So, Gun, Bitomar Shvat, is a Gun Godol Meoid. I'm not, but the phone that brings out, Koyches Nefesh, Machshava, Dimyon, Mechil Vechil is tremendous based on the Mekoros, and is, I think, not that dastra, but it's mamash outstanding seeing how deep and klokite bringing out this generation of understanding how to build and structure yourself step by step. So I think this is the most accessible, easier in today's where taking all the sforim of tzaddikim, putting them down to the masse, for us, this set of sforim of Da'at Atzmecha, it's also in English, some of them. It's worth trying. Yeah,
know your feelings. Know your
feelings. Know your thoughts.
Know your everything.
Deployness, yeah. Know your goodness. Know whatever you want. It's like it touches every side and aspect and gives you a clear way to work. Not only and it's beautiful. And this yid never learned any chokhmas agoyim. He learned gunish. He grew in yeshivas and learned only Torah. And when you see in this form the amount of knowledge. You see, it's an inspiration of this. So a person that never touched any Kochmas Degoyim and has it all in, you can, go and see. Of course, I'm also saying, I don't know who's sitting here, but every Chassidish is for him, all is for him, they give you a lot of Eitzes and guidance, talking about something like Titania teaches you the structure of the Nefesh. I'm talking about all the other species for him and misses for him. Baruch Hashem all give you the direction. If you can't relate to yourself through it, sometimes you can't relate. Sometimes you can say the homo sinus you shouldn't by heart, but can't relate it to yourself in our generation.
Kol Halashon.
So this also of Dessler said 8 years ago, that people already learned the psychology of the Musa, so they can't emotionally internalize it. So this is already more push-it work that you could do in any kind of right group work and friend work. The courses I do, not Baruch Hashem, all over, like you said, Baruch Hashem, today there's so many people going and doing good things. I can give one good advice as a friend, and I'm not saying it to anybody. I'm talking to people that believe in Hashem and the Aluche as it is. You should know that any kind of activity, and not, again, I'm not talking about people that need mental help. These go to doctor, do what the doctor says. Talk about in the healthy zone. In the healthy zone, I'm giving you advice, do whatever you want, because I saw damages coming. So try to avoid a place that is telling you to even cross or let go of a halacha or something which is a basic emes. Because if a person is sick and has to let go, so this is a part of the Torah, but stam kacha, you have to be careful not to fall for this. Because in the long term, you're going to get stuck in a certain place.
Stam, this is advice. Again. What's the advice though? What? Say that again.
The advice is that any person should get the help he needs. A, B. And it's not a bishop to take help. This is one. Two, if a person is in a zone that is considered ill and he needs the approach of a doctor, he should go to a doctor. If he's in the healthy zone means he has his ups and downs, he has his struggles like all of us, you know, kacha v'kacha. So anywhere he takes, it should be things that is not contradicting Torah. Even if it doesn't talk to you, but it's not contradicting Torah. Because when you go into a healthy zone and something is contradicting the Torah, even if it feeling-wise right now, an upgrade, but by the MS it's not. So it's a, you have to be careful. This is advice. Do whatever you want. I'm willing to take the opposite approaches, but taking it from years of work with myself and with others from all societies.
Amazing. Before we go, I want to go back to a question, something that we discussed in the beginning and talk about it for a few minutes. You mentioned that you might have a feeling how you feel and relate towards God, towards Hashem, and it doesn't have to be the truth. And like you said, Hashem loves us all, and we don't always feel it. Sometimes we're angry. The question is, we relate, the way we relate to anything is the way we think and the way we feel. So even by knowing that it's not true, if this is how, if I feel I messed up, if I feel I didn't do good, I'm worthless, all these feelings, and I feel that Hashem doesn't love me, and look what Hashem is doing to me, and it's so many years that way. So it's hard to really get to a place where you can connect and see and feel the love of Hashem.
So first a question, Rabbi Nachum. I hear a declaration.
I think the question would be where to start if somebody finds himself in that place of doesn't think it's possible. You know, and logically, you know, he's listening to us, spoke about it many times, been in therapy, but doesn't think Hashem loves him.
So what's the question?
What could he do? Where does he start?
Okay. So let's take our situation. A person feels Hashem is looking always to punish him and he's bad. Okay? As long as I believe I'm really bad, I can never get out of it. I feel bad. That is why if a person is in a healthy zone, first he has to know I am good, Hashem loves me, I feel I hate Hashem, and I feel Hashem hates me. What am I doing by saying, first you say it, why? When I verbally say, I know the emes versus my feeling, this is going to start going into my system. This separation has to be verbal. I can say this, I know Hashem loves me, I feel I hate Hashem, Hashem hates me, He always throws me away, He always rejects me, that's what I feel. But while I'm saying this and I feel it totally, I know it's only a feeling. This is number one. Now, this is a practice. You have to practice this. Two minutes a day. You go on the bus in the morning, you feel like you're the worst person in the world. Okay, I know I'm good. I know Hashem is good and loves me. I feel the worst person. I know it's only a feeling, but that's what I feel. But when you verbalize the emes versus the feeling, say, mantik yadabel, it starts going into your subconscious, this separation. This is number one. Number one is not masking. I will not agree to surrender my brain to my negativity. This I will not do. I will surrender to my feeling. Yes. I will accept that I feel that way. It's okay. If I feel that way, it's fine. It's not my fault. It's brought into me. But I'm answering. Number one is to understand it's only a feeling and to verbalize it. This is, number two would be altogether, I would say to a person, okay, what's the main emotion that is carrying with Hashem? Hatred. Okay. I would talk to this person. Let's talk about the hatred you have and help him see and finalize, understand where this hatred came in. By him understanding how it came in, it's going to be much easier for him afterwards to separate between the emes and the feeling, which is already halfway out. Understanding that, seeing I know that I was bullied and I was this, I remember this. So I feel hatred. Okay, so this, when you understand where it came in from, then it's easier to differentiate between the emes and the feeling. This is step number one to do. Now, if you can't do it alone, do it with somebody. This I would say for the beginning. And I would add to this, if you can't, at least ask Hashem, please help me feel what I know. I know what I know. Please help me feel it. Help me internalize this. Okay, this tefillah, whether it's even a peh v'lachutz, and if it's even 1 second, is shocking Shemayim v'aretz. You have to understand this. When a person today is in the deepest smile and says, Hashem, I know you're there, I just can't take it. Please help me out of here, even though I'm in the mud and I'm enjoying it, but I know I'm stuck and inside I want only you. Please help me. This mimamakim kraticha Hashem is turning upside down Shemayim v'aretz. But especially in our generation, people don't understand what's our opening point. When a person was thrown into the mud, is anybody asking why are you muddy? We only ask, why are you asking for help? This we can ask. Why are you dirty? In our generation, come on. We're thrown in the jungle. I mean, a person wants to keep his eyes, he puts it down, he sees a picture. He looks up, he sees an airplane with a picture. He closes his eyes, he thinks about the picture from yesterday. You can't run away. It helps you from all sides. Neither, it's not easy. Okay? So what is Hashem asking from us? Be angels? No, be amnestic. And at least a tefillah, push a tefillah. 1-2 words, Hashem help me. Please. One is so powerful. This all of us from Klushim. We don't understand and value our koach. Well, koach nish normal. Yitrona or min hachoshech. It's one candle in the dark. It's doing himmel dekezachem. This is where we are. We're big candles in darkness. Nachoshech and nefesh. Everything good we do is so powerful. Even if we don't feel it. And when we're going to be determined with it, even if it's small, but it's big. Small, but it's big. Zat Hashem, that shows who you are. You're judged by this point.
Wow.
You're judged, but this shows who you really are.
Okay, let's go to the closing segment. Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Avichai Cohen. Very special, waking up so early in the morning, coming on tonight. Tonight was next level. It was so, I don't want some more. I don't want shiurim deep. We want to really break it down. Again, if everybody's here the first time, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on this Zoom ID, we have different topics of Rabbanim. Please join us. August 24th, Hashem, when Ashraf Tobi Yoshir, hopefully it will be, depending on schedules, and we'll let you know. Nothing's confirmed yet. Hashem, if there is, it's going to be amazing, as it always is. Everything's recorded, but be on MenachemBerfel.com. If anybody has any questions, please email coachmenachem@gmail.com. To hear the share 241, you can listen to it on the phone as well. 732-305-9011, 732-305-9011. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors like Scoop, Ellie Narrow, 5 Central, Tyler Kaufman from JCN. And now just going to the closing, I'll go first, Menachem and the Rebbe Cohen. At the end of the day, learning to love ourselves and learning to feel love and feel pain, right? I think feeling pain is how you feel love. Also, you have to be able to feel the parts that we suffer. And I just want to take some of Rabbi Avichai's words and just bring it down and like being honest with yourself and feeling it, and then also differentiating between what's real, what's not, and really trying to get through it. It's a lot. I think that we skip that a lot. I think we try to either go to the Eitzah or go to the it's going to be good, or let's get in a good mood, or let's drink, or we try to curve away the feeling, because we feel if we sit with the feeling, it's too painful, or we're scared we're not going to get out of it. I don't know. But it seems like it's hard to sit with that pain. But I guess if you could sit with that pain, you could start to heal. That would be the first part. But anyway, Rabbi Cohen, it's Maridik. Everybody wants to know how they get a hold of you, how do they listen to the course, how do they get in touch with you. So hopefully when you speak, give everybody the questions. Menachem will email whatever information there is. Let's go to Coach Menachem.
Yes, we will. And it's send the in the email. There's a course coming up. I want to thank you, Rabbi Avichai Cohen. It's we've sat a lot here Sunday nights discussing a lot of our understanding, awareness, to get ourselves the emotions, and for those who have to heal the connection with Hashem, how to. Tonight we're here, you know, putting it all together, having, there is a mahalach, there is a step-by-step, like we heard, not to run away from it, to be able to sit with it, and again, not to sit with it for too long. Eventually you want to get to a place where you can get out of it somehow. You mentioned with giving, when you're ready, and coming to a place where you can connect back to Hashem, then back to your feelings, back to Hashem, but it's all with Hashem, understanding no matter where I am, where, whatever situation it is, Hashem is there with me. And if I don't feel it, Hashem, please help me. Help me, I should feel it. And like you mentioned, to verbalize, even though I don't feel it, I know you love me. And I know many times you say that word, the emotions come up. Sometimes it's negativity or it pushes it away. Just to stop and say, Hashem, you love me. And for some people are like, no, that's not true. Just say it again. I know that you love me. I don't feel that way. And verbalizing, seeing the difference between knowing and the feelings. So, yeah, thank you very much. And Hashem should help us. Hashem, please help us all. Like it's coming, Chodesh Elul. We want to become close to you. We want to grow. We want to feel content. We want to feel good about ourselves. And obviously with the connection with you, because you're our creator. And hopefully Hashem should help us all with a lot of Siyata Deshmaya. Thank you again.
Rabbi Chaim Cohen, you're sitting with us 2 hours. Leave us with Divrei Chizik, with something like takeaway, and give us a bracha.
First of all, it was an amazing challenge, and I must appreciate, thank you to Hashem, thank you to the Shliach, Menachem Shkoach, Bujos, thank you so much. It was a big, it's a matana for me, as much as talk to Eden, to the kids of Hashem, it's mamash matana gdola, Shkoach. Nothing you was said here, the way I see it, the only is reminding ourselves, the Ikar V'Tafel, the Ikar is Hashem loves us, and our work is to find this love inside us and around us. And at the end of the day, the work is Emunah, Bitachon, Tefillah, as we all know, but doing it in the right word that our heart can take it. It's addressing our heart, it's connecting to our heart, if it's angry or whatever it is. To do it, you can't skip. You can't skip the heart. You have to mekarev yourself. It's kiruv rechol, kiruv kov, to connect yourself, bring it up to Hashem. It's a tremendous effort. That is the work of the door. And this is the key to the love that we're all looking for and to the love of Hashem that is going to come out by Geulah Shlema. I want to just apologize a bit if the I understand and I also bemet that we spoke a lot from the above. We didn't go too much to details, not because there are no details and no clue, because the crowd is big and the time is low. And it is, Bemet, I'm not doing campaigns from my course. I always say to people, go do something with yourself. Whatever it is, don't fall asleep, okay? Find somebody to work with. Kol b'seder, whatever touches your heart, chokmah b'goyim tam, take it the right way, and you should grow to Hashem. And from this place, in this tefillah, tefillah to Hashem, this is the strongest thing. One more thing I would like to, we didn't talk about it, and we're not going to talk about it. And I know I stepped on a painful point, but I will say it out of our love to them. Take it the right way. Maybe I'm doing a politically, not politically correct thing by ending with this. You should remember that the root of the healing of the nefesh, hapshite, is through kibud avraham. I know it's a painful point to say. It's not easy. Not to say it and not to work it out. But this is not a declaration that is, sounds nice. It's based, clue, the right way to understand, to know that at a certain point, you can take work with yourself, give whatever, the ultimate connection, have to know it goes through the parents, our beloved parents that are also inside us, Bazgucha Potis, and the Kibbutz Avraham will help us to value them and value us in the places that we did this. We can not yet do it. And by doing this, Bezat Hashem, it always spoke. We're going to see a tremendous Siyata Dishmaya with our kids and with everything we do. Thank you so much, everybody. And Shkoyach Be'emet, we shall have a good Gebet Shio. Remember, Elul is a month of looking for the love of Hashem that we lost. Elul is search. Word Elul is search. Searching for the love that we lost and we're looking for and finding it in, and from there coming to Mamlich Hashem, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So I give Gebet Shio.
The love of Hashem. Everybody, yeah. Hello, the love of Hashem.
Love
of Hashem.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
This week, have a great week.
Loving,
thank you so much.
Connected week. Like a...
Call to.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.